I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing well.
For all the high-tech solutions, I just have to complain that they still don't have anything that like completely gets rid of my allergies. So that's why I'm sounding a little bit... I don't know, who do I sound like? Sound like Tom Waits?
I don't know. Definitely got that post-nasal drip sound going on.
Well, fortunately, I feel pretty good, in the words of the great James Brown.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So, I saw there's a big vote coming up tomorrow, is it, in the House?
I believe so.
Regarding internet privacy, and we would love to have our listeners weigh in on how they feel about their internet provider giving their personal information over to...
Well, it sounds like, well, it's whatever is being, you know, trafficked over their internet connection. So, fortunately, a lot of... well, there's a big movement within the open source community to do, like, Let's Encrypt. So, you can get free encryption certificates for your websites so that the traffic on the website is encrypted and can't be intercepted.
Okay.
So... There's a Google, if you're doing a website build and you put and you make it HTTPS by default, so secure by default, then Google gives you a leg up in their rankings.
Okay, so Google is against.
No, they are favorably rank you if your server is configured in a way that presents the HTTPS. First,
okay.
As opposed to regular HTTP, and the difference is one is secure and one isn't.
Got it. Okay. But does this basically help people from, basically your data can't be collected if it's an HTTPS site, right?
Right, unless somebody's doing a man-in-the-middle downgrade to like RC4 or, you know, there's some ways where it can be where the server can be misconfigured, and they can cause the server to communicate with you in a way that is insecure and can be, you know, ripped. It's basically the encryption can be taken apart easily, and the contents revealed if there's a proper attack on the server for the request.
Huh. Well, you know, when I was reading this, I read a couple articles for the show today, and you know, one of the things that, you know, they talked about selling your personal information to other people. And, you know, it occurred to me that, don't you think that, I mean, there has been so much personal information that has gotten out and about because of, you know, because of compromises, security compromises, that wouldn't you think that they would have to be responsible to us to prove that they, don't you think they need to like close the barn door before they decide that, you know, they're going to open up a little gate in it, you know, and start trickling out, you know, the safe stuff, you know, quote unquote.
Well, you have to make sure that you give, you know, any company you're working with online as little information as necessary. So you have to choose to protect yourself in certain situations. Like, you know, I don't hand out my social security number. Very, very few companies have that. I mean, really, they're not even supposed to have it. It's not supposed to be used. It's not your social security number is not a randomly generated number. It's a predictable number based on when and where you were born.
Sure.
So it's not really supposed to be, I mean, it is a government issued unique identifier, but at the same time, they're not random, so you can predict where if you have the name and birth date and place of birth, you can, you know, guess what it is.
You can reverse engineer somebody's social security number? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. I had no idea. So is it a serialization process, though, those numbers, the way that they're given out?
I mean, my understanding is yes.
So in other words, the person who was born right before me, You know, the last four digits of his social was 14443. So, okay. Got it.
Or the, I know that like my parents have, or my, some of my family, one of my family members has consecutive with their sibling because they had them, you know, they were handed out consecutively to the family.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
Again, it's a serialization, not a.
Mm-hmm.
A great unique identifier.
It's not a concatenation of date, time, latitude, longitude.
Yeah, something like that.
Because you know, if they invented social security numbers right now, that's how they would do it, right?
Yeah.
You know, it would be far more exotic than just some simple, you know.
Yeah, serialized number.
Yeah, it's like that thing, you know, in the where you go to get your license plates. It's like, take a number, you know. It's like you get born, it's like, take a number. So,
all right, we're on the. You're on with the geeks.
Hey, geeks! It's Donna. How are you?
Good.
Hey, how's it going there, foreign correspondent?
It's great. Everything's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a beautiful day in Southern California?
Yes. Of course.
That's not what we want to hear.
I know. What's it like there? Good.
Well,
it's overcast, and I would call it comfortable.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts today. I'm actually kind of freezing, but that's just kind of how I roll. And yeah, it's overcast. A little bit of blue sky here and there. Some sun now and then.
Oh, nice.
But definitely a long ways from beach weather.
I was laughing because people here are going to Borrego Springs to see the wildflowers in the desert, and you know, I went there and it just doesn't compare. But you know, it was nice. It's nice for people here to think that's what wildflowers really are like. But
you do anyway. you make do with what you got. You know,
I know it's true.
So
anyway, I have a couple of comments. One is, I don't know if we've talked about Venmo lately, but that is an app that you can share funds with your friends. So if you go to a restaurant and one person pays, you can send your friend who pays money for your portion of the check. That's all free. Is there another app like that that do you know of that's popular?
Well, isn't there Square Cash? Doesn't Square have a personal version of their app?
I don't
stuff
know.
Like
that's
that?
A good question.
I'm pretty sure. We were talking about it in the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Office earlier.
Okay.
They were looking for... they were going rounds with PayPal, as many of us have.
Right.
And I become less and less a fan of PayPal all the time because they're just so, I don't know, it's just for such a mediocre service, they really are awfully hyper vigilant, you know, about their stuff. And but anyway, we've been using Venmo in our family for better part of a year probably.
So it works really quickly and easily.
Yep.
And so I thought I'd bring that up again.
We kind of use it as a way of, because, you know, there's always going to be those who are, you know, things get awkward when it's time to pay the bill, you know. And, you know, one of the things that like kind of personally drives me crazy, because I used to work in the restaurant business and I know just how taboo separate checks are. You know, now I know with the advent of computers and everything, I've had, you know, some of my restaurant servers go, oh, it's not a big deal. It's like, I just dragged the lines to these spots on the app and it creates the separate checks, you know, or whatever. But, you know, it makes a process, you know, if you do just say, just go ahead and give us one big check. And then, it keeps you out of that awkwardness where, you know, like one person tries to hijack the whole bill or, you know, whatever. I actually love people like that, but, you know, that's just me. You know.
Well, it's funny, too, because here a lot of people have rewards cards, so lots of people like to put it on their credit card and then get the cash from people so they get the points.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. So.
Right, and then the other thing, you might always say the phone number for people so they can call in after I'm done here if you want.
No, we don't want anybody to call.
Okay. The other thing I was wondering is, what do you guys use? You know how Google has gotten rid of Picasa, and now they're just using photos?
When you say photos, it's like, so they have their own app called Photos now, or they Have they co-opted the Apple Photos app?
No, I think it's their own. I think it's called Photos. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's what I'm saying partly is that it's a bummer because I used to have Picasa on my computer, and when it crashed, now I can't really get Picasa anymore from Google. I guess you could find it somewhere, but mm-hmm. anyway, long story short, they're not really supporting it anymore. And then so they have their photo app, which is on their, you know, it's mobile friendly. So they're trying to just have one platform, I guess. But have you used it at all? Because I don't think it says, you know, there's as many features as Picasa had. I'm not sure about that. But.
Well, I think it's probably like really integrated into the Google Photo, you know, the cloud sharing of photos that Google does. And
yes.
So I think I've used it, but I don't think I knew that I was using it, you know,
okay.
type of thing. And so, yeah, it's very integrated into the cloud app. It may just be a fancy HTML interface, quite honestly, for the Google Photos, you know, photo cloud stuff. What do you think about that? Think that's possible?
Well, you know, there's another one that I used recently called Canva. NVA to edit a photo. I had to get a headshot for my Evernote stuff that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to take a photo and then just make 400 by 400 pixel headshot out of that.
Got it.
That worked fine.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And
Canva,
let me ask
fine.
You, have you read the privacy agreement from Canva?
No, why?
I mean, well, I know I'm, it's just because we were kind of talking about privacy. And because the reason we were going to talk about that is there's a big vote. The Senate has already voted to do away with an Obama era privacy bill. And it basically just opens the floodgates for internet providers and so on and so forth to just like willy nilly sell your information.
Well,
to people,
you know, what we're doing at Viasat is we're building encryptors
uh-huh.
that connect to your modem. So,
yeah.
So that I think that's what's going to end up happening is people will just be able to buy off-the-shelf encryptors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they won't – Google won't necessarily have as much information, I think, as they could.
Yeah. Well, you know, the bottom line is you make something idiot-proof and they'll just invent a better idiot. And, you know, you start
right.
stealing people's personal information and they'll just find – you know, we're all just going to be plain white vanilla, you know, like those – Guy Fawkes masks, you know, cruising around on the internet. It's like, oh, I don't recognize you. I don't recognize any of you.
That's
So, yeah.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
All right.
963-2976.
We were just about to do that.
Okay, have a good day.
Take care, Donna. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. Call in with your questions, quandaries, or printer problems.
Yeah, if you have any personal information that you want disseminated, if you don't want to just get it over with,
yeah,
just give us a call, spill it all right out there, you know.
Yes.
All you other listeners, get your pad and paper ready.
Yeah, my password's
pad and pencil.
Log me in 123.
Yeah, mine is stay out. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Oh,
so.
we've just made like 60% of all the people on the internet insecure.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that good, but it's
yeah.
those are pretty up there.
I always love doing that, you know, just going... Yeah,
if
you're out there listening, we know what your password is. It's 123 Rover. So that's 8 characters, by the way. So,
but it doesn't have it. But it doesn't would you just add an exclamation point to it if it needs a special character?
No, it has a 3 for the E.
But it still requires a special character.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Pound sign.
Okay.
Like as in Rover in the dog pound.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like we got a call.
You're on with the geeks.
Hi, this is Garage Door.
You got to turn your radio off, Mrs. Garage Door. You should know better.
You're on with geeks.
Okay, I'm off now.
Okay.
It seems like every time I'm given the choice to install some improvements or something like that. If I go ahead and do it, something else gets screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened is I cannot get in my Scrabble games, and you know how important they are to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can only go so far, and up in the window where it shows that something's going on, there is a process in the work. There's another icon that comes on.
Okay.
So what is going
on? Well, you basically have installed some malware, probably. Because the bottom line is 99%, let's put it this way, there are very few things that you can download on the internet that will actually make your computer better. I hate to say that, but it's pretty much true.
Far and few between.
Yeah. So when somebody pops up and says, hey, we're going to download this to your computer to make your computer better or improve such and such or whatever, they're probably lying to you about that.
Oh, that's yes. good to know.
Yes, because they have self-serving purposes.
Yeah.
And, yes.
Well, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And I always feel, well, you know, I just feel like, oh, I don't want to do that now. But to know that it's better if I don't do it at all, that's good news.
Are you suffering from, have you ever heard of FOMO before? Do you know what that means?
No.
Fear of missing out. It's what motivates a lot of our behaviors as humans.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, yeah, a lot of times when something pops up on the computer that and says, well, don't be left behind. You know, all your friends are doing this and they're all upgrading. And then FOMO kicks in and then we go ahead and click the OK button. And next thing you know, the Scrabble game doesn't work. So anyway, I'll stop by and fix that on my way home, Mom.
Okay. So. All right. That'll be good. I hesitated to call about this, but maybe there are other people out there that have the same issue.
No, I think I think we got some really good information put out there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Thanks, honey.
All right. Mm-hmm. Take care.
Honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So what I've started doing with all of my clients is I install uBlock Origin on every browser they have.
Okay. And that's an extension
it's not as aggressive as NoScript. NoScript is a little too aggressive for a normal user. But it's more or less a set it and forget it kind of thing.
Okay. And it's called FairBlock?
No, uBlock.
uBlock. Okay.
Origin.
All right. Got it.
That's the whole name.
uBlock Origin.
And so it's available for Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Opera, and several others.
That's good information.
And it's an ad blocker, and it blocks some of the other nasties that come in through those systems. So it's a really robust way to cut down on problems like that.
Yeah. You know, I would say that statistically, I'd say that about 80% of all the web browsers I go to work on have some sort of unnecessary extension
Absolutely.
Or add-on installed on it. And
mine's at least that high.
Yeah. And, you know, so if you're out there and you are not certain why your computer's exactly acting quite the way that it is, you may want to examine the extensions or the add-ons that are in your web browser. And that's all stuff you can Google, or you can call the Geeks at 970-963-2976. And you can tell us what the strange behavior is, and we'll help you figure out what the, you know, whether it's a browser extension or whatever, we'll help you figure it out and we'll help you remove it. So, and you know, the problem is that a lot of these browser extensions and such, you know, like kind of dovetailing back into our conversation about internet privacy, a lot of them collect information about you in an illicit fashion. So there are a lot of good reasons, you know, besides the fact that they make your computer run crappy and they don't allow you to go places on the internet you want to go, they're sitting there collecting information about you targeting advertising at you and, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, if that makes you uncomfortable, you might want to look into it. So,
yeah, because you can basically get away with no extensions at all, but there are a few ones that are very useful. Hello, you're on the air with the Geeks.
Hello, I have a question about an iPhone 6 related to like voicemail.
All okay.
Right. It's like saving my greeting. I get this message that pops up. It says OP couldn't be completed, then com.apple.mobile PH1 error 1035. Have you ever heard of that? And I've been on the internet trying to figure it out, but it sounds like it's talking about something about visual voicemail.
Yeah, well, let's see. I would start out, have you made sure when you were trying to save this greeting that you were in a spot where you had, like, probably ideally the best place to do it would be when you're, like, home or Starbucks or wherever, and you're connected to a good solid Wi-Fi signal?
Okay, I'll try that.
I would start out, it's probably an internet connectivity issue, because the all of the voicemail mechanism on the iPhone is all digital. It's trying to basically transmit that as a digital file. And if your digital connectivity is spotty, then it's going to fail.
Okay. Should I have Wi-Fi turned on, or would it be on the, I guess, the Verizon?
No, I would do it over Wi-Fi if I were you, just to be absolutely sure. Cause it's not like something you're going to be doing, you know, every other day, you know,
yeah.
Just, you know, since you're, you know, those couple times a year or couple times a decade, you change your greeting. Make sure you're in good, really, really good Wi-Fi coverage, and upload it then.
Yeah, I pretty much have to change it every week.
Oh, okay, all right.
Like a work phone, but okay. Okay, but I'll try that.
Well, you need to go get a latte once a week at Starbucks. Do it.
I just, yeah.
We're not authorized agents of Starbucks, though, really. So
yeah, flat coffee. I'm easy to please. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. Take care.
All right. Yeah. Bye. You as well.
Yeah.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Have a few more minutes here, 963-2976.
You know, on the smartphones these days, a lot of people don't realize that there are two distinct communication systems running on your smartphone, and they do not take the place of each other. You know, no. With a few exceptions, there's some new technology in some of the Apple products, and probably, I'm sure, soon to follow in the Android world. But there's a data connection, and that's basically sending zeros and ones, mm-hmm. you know, digital information between you and the internet.
Yeah, I recently I went through and upgraded to the HD voice on my Verizon account. And so now I can make calls if I'm in, as long as I'm somewhere that has a reasonable internet speed, even like up in Redstone or up towards Marble, where they have some DSL service,
mm-hmm.
I can still make phones calls, Wi-Fi calls on my cell phone, and it looks like it's my cell phone number. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
So you have both communications going on, where you can do, you know, over traditional 4G, 3G calling, or over Wi-Fi calling if you've upgraded or updated your device.
Yeah. So, you know, what I've noticed with mine is because I have the voice over Wi-Fi feature, mm-hmm. you know, enabled on my iPhone. And what I've noticed is, and, you know, this may help some of our listeners, that if I'm, because the icon in the upper left-hand corner, it'll basically say AT&T Wi-Fi when I'm, you know, when I'm set, when my cell signal is so bad that it's going to try to use my Wi-Fi to send the phone, outgoing phone call. If it says that, and then I happen to, like, be driving out of that Wi-Fi service, or, you know, walking away from it, that call's going to drop. When the Wi-Fi signal gets so bad, the call's going to drop. So just, you know, so
mine complains when I switch between
works,
it. Yeah.
You know? So, yep. All right. Well, they've wasted another perfectly good 25 minutes listening to Geek Speak. So,
I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot for running the board, Matt.
Absolutely.
Thanks to all our callers. And y'all have a great week, and don't touch your knob.